The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. Even at first blush, it's a real challenging gospel passage that we have today, primarily because it deals with something we all struggle with, and that is forgiveness, the process of reconciliation. But I think if we jump to that, then we miss too much in this passage. We have to see how it begins. Jesus said to his disciples, right? All too often in the world, and maybe there is some truth in this, Christians are seen as people who like to go around telling other people how they're supposed to act, what they're supposed to do. But look here, Jesus said to his disciples. He's addressing a community of those who trust and follow him in every aspect of their lives. And so I think the first question that this gospel poses for us today is whether or not we are disciples. If we're not, then Jesus really isn't speaking to us today in this particular passage. Right? But here, we are meant to be the gathered community of people who trust and follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives. And this is then where we can see the idea that someone going astray, someone sinning, and certainly someone whose sin then affects the whole community, needs to be brought back in. Right? It's like if we can think perhaps a small sports analogy. If we put together a basketball team, and we have someone on that team who just whenever we throw the ball to him, he's going to throw the ball in our hoop. We have to correct him. We got to get him going in the right direction. And if that's true on, say, a basketball team or any other sports team we can think of, it's certainly true on our missionary discipleship team, that community that Jesus has established here of those who trust and follow Jesus. Following Christ is, in fact, a team sport. We need here to be a group assembled, praying for each other, struggling and striving to live the life that Jesus wants for us, to follow him in all things, and to witness to his great love and mercy in the world. This particular passage, this exhortation, to be about the process of reconciliation is so important because, as we heard in the gospel acclamation, Jesus was about reconciling the world to God. And if we cannot be a reconciled community, if we cannot be a community that demonstrates true and deep love for each other, how can we possibly affect that reality of reconciliation in the world around us? How can we go out and reach out to the lost? How can we go out and reach out to people who don't know the love of Christ if we refuse to embody the love of Christ here as a community gathered by Jesus in his name and for his purposes? And so, my friends, this is, I think, where we focus today. We want to love and trust and obey Jesus with every fiber of our being. And that's what we do when we present ourselves for communion, right? The whole build-up to our reception of communion is such that we are piece by piece laying down our lives to God here at the altar through and with and in Jesus. And as we do so and receive his life, we're made to embody it. We're made to embody his love for the world that so desperately needs it.